you turn on the light. Don't laugh, it will be alright. Pull me out another phone. I'll ring and see if your friends are home. Perhaps the strange ones in the dome can lend us a book we can read up alone and try. Get it on like once before. Where people stared and Cobain's eyes and scored like the video film we saw. His name was always Buddy, and he's shrugging and he asked to stay. She'd sigh like Twig the Wonder Kid and turn her face away. She's uncertain if she likes him, but she knows she really loves him. It's a crash course for the rails. It's a driving Saturday. Young, the foreman prayed at work. Neither hands nor limbs would burst. Tight enough to keep formation with this fallout saturation. Cause an acne astronaut who stands and still by his cabinet. He's crashing out with Sylvia. The bureau supply for aging men. It's not in it. Woman sad rage to see the rage no more. Like the video film bizarre. His name was always Buddy, and he's shrugging and asked to stay. She sighed like Twig the Wonder Kid and turned her face away. But you know she really loves him. It's a crash course for the rivers. It's a driving Saturday. His name was always Buddy, and he'd shrug and he'd ask to stay. She'd sigh like Twig the Wonder Kid and turn her face away. She's uncertain if she likes him, but you know driving Saturday. It's a driving Saturday. It's a
...91.5 WMFO in Medford. Just having a little problem with my CD players here. And hold on one second. Reading. TOC reading. Here we go. Why isn't that going? Oh, I see why. Nope. Gotta be, CD 2, right? Ah. What's that? Okay, we'll check it out. Power Fever. No. I'm just going to put in a few songs, and we got Mark Bell in the station. We'll talk to him in a minute, and Jimmy James is with us as well.
Yay!
Everything's acting so slow. Here we go. 91.5 WMFO Medford. Thank you. Yeah, I'm sitting in with Mark Bell, Cowboy Mark Bell, and Jimmy James. Jimmy, how is your mic working? They said that one's crackly.
Is it crackly? Am I crackly?
You sound okay to me.
Sounds okay to me.
I mean, you always sound a little crackly.
I'm always a little crackly.
Well, crack. Favorite magazine.
Too many falls on my head when I was a child.
Before we get right to Mark, Mark, when you talk, to you speak right into the mic, okay?
Is this a microphone here?
That's that.
I'm new to this game.
We'll tell you all about Mark in a minute, but you've got a brand new song out, Power Fever.
That's right, Brian.
And I'm going to try and make it go right now. And it's not.
Well, I'll just sing it for you then.
Will you sing it? Can you sing it with a guitar?
No. My guitarists know the song. I don't know this one yet. I could play Louie, but not Power Fever. But I can sing it.
Okay, sing it for us.
Ah. Then there's a long pause, and there's this great guitar stuff goes on. So I lost friends. And then there's more really good guitar.
This is not going to go good.
It's because they shut down everything that I'm supposed to get off the web. So I can't get anything off the web right now. I only can get it off Rivendell.
Holy smokes. And you can't pull that song off of your Facebook?
No, it's not.
Can't
it's
even
not
do that.
It's playing on there right now, but it's not going.
All right, well, no problem. We'll just do all my old records then.
We can talk about your books, too.
I got books.
Well,
shows.
We got Mark Bell. And started with Thunder Train, Mark?
That was the first band, you know, my first Boston band. I started out in Holliston, which is out near Framingham, you know, with all my kid bands.
Mm-hmm.
I was a 60s rocker, you know?
Right.
Playing the Battle of the Bands. And when I started, there was record hops, and they'd have a break in the middle. And during the interval, my band would come on and do the three songs we knew. Gloria, Hang On Sloopy, and Wipeout. And then they'd go back to the records. And then as bands became more of a thing, you know, then it became... No more records at the high school. They had bands play, and we cashed in on that for a bunch of years. But then when the drinking age went down in the 70s...
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now, I'm thinking, doesn't his sound a little crackly? Just a little bit?
No.
No? Okay.
My voice, yeah, might be a little crackly. I don't know. I ate some shredded wheat this morning. Now, I can hear a little modulation there.
Switch seats for a second.
Switch. Huh? Switch.
All right. Jimmy James, move on out of there.
About the first time I've been told that.
Yeah, get wired in here for a sec.
Yeah, give us a 1, 2, 3.
I'll give you a 1, 2, 3. Costco, yo-yo, Vichinani, Ketchabu, Kazoon, Taikaruma, Fachi, Kist, Quadawai, Trimonto, Amino, Benzi, Nikolai, Ivanovich, Lobachevsky.
It's clearer on that one.
Yeah.
I was told
the
wrong
this
one.
This is the crackly one.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey. Yeah. All right. I can't blame the shredded wheat. Yeah, anyway, Thunder Train was the band that I was... Well, I guess I was with Biggie Rat when the drinking age came down. But then when we realized that there was going to be a whole new industry opening up to young rockers, like Jimmy James and I both, you know, we were caught up in that thing. All of a sudden, every dive bar... And restaurant on the corner suddenly wanted to have a rock band 5 or 6 nights a week, and there was this tremendous amount of work for a rock band. So Biggie Rat rode that wave, and then we turned into Thunder Train and moved into Boston and started doing the whole rat scene, the club in Cambridge. Eventually the Paradise opened up, and you know, really had a blast during the 70s and did the Live at the Rat album. And
how long were you with Thunder Train before the Joe Perry stuff happened?
Thunder Train, I wrote all of the 70s from 74 right up to 80. And then Joe lost his second lead singer right after New Year's Day very beginning of 82, and that's when I left for I joined the circus.
And do you mean Charlie Farron when he lost?
Charlie was the second singer.
Ralph Mormon, is he still alive?
Ralph passed away.
He passed away, right? Yeah.
And unbelievable singer. I'd followed him with his band Daddy Warbucks back at Kickakakades at the Kenmore Club, as had Joe Perry, and that's why he called Ralph to be his first singer. Ralph's the guy saying, "Let the music do the talking."
Right.
Fantastic voice. But he had trouble making all the gigs. So pretty early on, Joe made the switch and got Charlie Farron, who, was a really seasoned club performer around here at that point.
He's been on the show.
He's been on the show,
I bet. Yeah, I mean, Charlie.
But he's not listening. Go ahead and talk crap.
You can talk.
And Charlie also brought in a bunch of great songs that he'd been playing with Balloon, his club band.
Yeah.
Now, I got the record that we would have been listening to right now, Power Fever. My bass player.
I'm so sorry.
My bass player, Joe Black, was the bass player of Balloon.
In Balloon, right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
So, yeah, I mean, we all travel in these circles and eventually meet up with each other. Anyway.
Want to hear Thunder Train while we're talking about
them? Yeah, sure. Let's hear some Thunder Train.
Which one do you want to hear?
Well, we were known for Hot for Teacher. That might be a good way to start off.
Okay.
That was our single from 1976. This is the original Hot for Teacher,
Yeah, not Van Halen's.
Not the Van Halen.
Right. Those guys were all, they all went down to Florida now, or are they in Florida?
Van Halen or Aerosmith?
And Thunder Train guys.
Oh, Thunder Train. And Thunder Train, yeah, most of them are in Florida.
Are in Florida now, yeah.
Yeah. Bobby passed away, my drummer.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah. And so, no more full band reunions.
Where are you originally from? You have a southern thing going.
I'm originally from Ohio.
Okay. Well, they do have a southern thing in Ohio. I don't know. I spent a couple months out there, and I'm like... Don't you guys know you're just west of us, not south?
I got a country holler deep inside. I mean, there's a part of me that always wanted to be Mark Bolan, T-Rex, and that was a huge influence when I went to see him in 70, 71. But a week later, I went to see Jim Dandy with the Black Oak Arkansas. And between, Jim, comes out with his bright white spandex pants stripped to the waist. Hairy chested, but with a strap to his chest, he's got the washboard, and he's whipping his blonde hair around, and he's jumping off the drum riser and landing with a flying knee split in the middle of the stage of the Orpheum. It was called the Aquarius Theater at the time. So I landed somewhere halfway between Jim Dandy and Hot and Nasty, and the Slider with T Rex. I love that style as well.
We do too. All right, Hot for Teacher?
Yeah.
This is Thunder Train on MFO. Just watch my mind.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Frustration. All kinds of frustration going on. That's some good stuff there, Thunder Train.
That was just like live in the studio when we set up to before we started what we thought was going to be the actual recording. We were playing live in the studio, and the producers were running tape, and they just liked that real sound, and so that ended up on our first album, just as just us playing as we would play it at a club back then.
Yeah, I'd like to do an album like that.
Yeah, it's great when you can really truly set up your band in the studio and do it. Most of the studios these days are much smaller and not set up for that kind. Everything's done more piece by piece, it seems.
Well, yeah. Well, we'd be able to do it at Claps, that big room.
Yeah. Mm.
But back to Mark Bell here. We, Thunder Train, that was all the 70s years.
That was my 70s. It was, besides doing our own album, we were also on Jim Harold's Live at the Rad album, and that was amazing. So we're in it with that whole group of the class of 76, Willie Alexander and the Boom Boom Band, the Real Kids, Third Rail.
We have that in here, you know.
Oh, I'm sure you must have that. Must have that in there.
Did you make the album?
I'm on that album, and we all went together to CBGB's the spring of 77, all 10 bands, and we took over CBGB's for 5 nights. We did a record release in New York City.
Nice.
It was fabulous. And it was out of that gig that Willie's band got signed to MCA, Real Kids got onto Red Star Records, DMZ were there, they got onto Sire from that. Geez, everybody got picked up except for Thunder Train. But it was okay.
The way.
We didn't need a record label back then. We were working so much. And you know, everybody that did get signed turned out having a record. Not everybody, but most of the people ended up with a record that they didn't feel all that great about. Because we were live bands, and that live energy is so hard to
capture.
Yeah. You know, the smart guys who were a bit more evolved, you know, the Steven Tyler type of cats, knew that you can't just do your live show in a studio. You got to also create recordings, and they kind of showed us how it's done, and it was daunting how it's done. But yeah, we were more of a live act, and all my bands are like that, really.
Yeah.
It's easier to capture the power of a live band in the studio now, a lot easier.
I did find the Live at the Rat.
Yeah.
Did you want to hear I Gotta Rock?
Yeah, you could play I Gotta Rock. That closes the album.
All right. We'll close Thunder Train pretty much off with that, I guess.
All right.
And then we'll talk about how you got the phone call for Joe Perry, huh?
We could talk about it, sure.
People, I tell you, I know you feel the way I do when I say... When I say I don't want to hear no more of this stuff that's coming down through my AM radio, right now I want to rock. I said I gotta rock, Steven, I gotta rock. Rock it. you know where I'm coming from. You go home at night, you lie down your mattress. You throw a TV dinner in the oven. You throw a patio Mexican TV dinner in the oven. You sit down, you watch a Charlie Chan late show. And you say, all I want to do is roll over and turn on the radio and hear a little bit of rock. I mean, I don't want to hear no boop bop swinging stuff. I don't want to hear no la-di-da, let's make love stuff. I want to hear some down, mean, rockin'. Rick on the bass. Rick, give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. I said, I don't care. Know where I'm coming from, boys. All I want to hear is that big bass drum.
Great stuff, Mark.
Yeah, you hear a little Jim Dandy in there?
Yeah, I heard that.
Hey, Brian, I know your listeners were worried about you this week. I just wanted to mention you're looking real good.
I put a lot of healing lotions on my face, and I'm here to face the music.
Looking good, man. Our host was in a little car bang up this week, but he's on his feet, rolling.
And you had a heart attack earlier. You look fine.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be back with my heart totally functioning. I think I came out of it in better shape than I went into it. So, you know, it has a silver lining, but holy smokes, the amount of drugs and stuff they pumped into me to do that operation. You know, I had a quintuple heart bypass operation, and to do that they have to put you into a semi-coma,
right?
And you know, it was the fentanyl and the
wow.
Dilaudid and the that drug that poor Michael Jackson took when he
yeah.
passed away. I was dosed up on that, and you know, I'm still feeling the effects. I think my it did a job on my memory.
Well, you're still out and about. After Thunder Train, you got a call. Joe Perry wanted you, huh?
Yeah, Thunder Train ended in 80, pretty much very soon after the drinking age went back up. We were booked at the, what was it called? That place in Lynn, the Harbor House, that big concert club. We were doing a Friday, Saturday. I remember we played the Friday night. It was packed. Great night, as always. That was the night that they rolled back the drinking age. They didn't roll it all the way back from 18 to 21. It was in steps.
They had like a Godfather thing, right?
Yeah, they went from 18 to 19, and then the next year they went to 21.
So, but, you know, just take... The thing when it was 18 was... There were a few people even younger than 18 in that crowd, believe it or not, that were
sure.
getting in.
No, really?
And the people that dug what I was doing in Thunder Train, It was the really young end of the rock crowd who was really up and dancing and going nuts with what we were doing. You know, as they get a little older and get a little more sophisticated in their musical tastes and get a little more into the Steely Dan and the prog rock and all the wonderful music that's out there. In other words, so the next night when the drinking age just went up a few, by a year or two, we were playing to nobody. There's three whores and a midget in the place.
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, it was empty. So it was, the writing was on the wall, and yeah, I left. We broke up the band, and I headed out west, and ended up. I actually wanted to be in a movie like this. I love this one, Village of the Giants. You're playing the theme to it. You know?
Jack Nietzsche.
Love it. I wanted to be a drive-in movie actor was my thought, but I ended up in the Circus Vargas, in Southern California. I joined the circus just as a roustabout, but I ended up being in the show. Joe Perry likes to joke that he saved the cowboy from the circus. Because I got this call. The circus thing, I did, anybody interested in the circus, I wrote a lot about it in my second book, I Got a Rock. But I came back here to Boston. And I was working at my dad is in the audio business. He's passed away now. My dad was in the audio business, and he had a stereo store with a big record department. And I had gone back to the family business, and I was working downstairs taking in broken record players and fixing broken needles and kids' record players. When the call came from Earthquake Morton telling me to come to an audition this Friday for this national act, the Joe Perry Project. And I'll tell you, Brian, it was a fantastic offer, but it was almost too fantastic, and I turned him down flat.
Crazy.
You know, I had just been through 5 years with Thunder Train knocking on every damn record company door, not to mention all the agencies and smaller things here around town. You know, for every magazine or radio interview you get, there'd be six that would say no. I was used to having the door slammed in my nose, and I didn't like it. And then with the bigger slams from the record companies, we got real close with it. You know, Atlantic got real close with Hot for Teacher, but no cigar. So I was just like, really? Now I got to learn some Joe Perry Project songs and show up at an audition and sing these songs. And I could just imagine Joe Perry's going to turn around, light up a smoke, and and just crushed. I would be so crushed because Aerosmith was a band that meant a lot to me, especially Joe Perry. He was the coolest guy around. I'd gone to see him back in 71 when they were very, very first starting out in our area. The Mendon Lakeview Ballroom, and playing some free gigs around. I saw him at Hopedale Town Hall.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw him before Brad was with the band when they had the original Ray Tobano on second guitar.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so these guys were, besides Jim Dandy and Mark Bolan, Joe Perry and Aerosmith had been a huge influence on me growing up. So all the more reason I didn't want to go get turned down. But so I hung up the phone, but luckily for me, I'm the luckiest guy you ever meet. Earthquake called back and said, no, that's not the proper response. No's not going to cut it. Here's the six songs you got to learn, and here's the address, and we'll see you Friday. I thanked him because I had already begun kicking myself.
Yeah.
And then it was sweet, you know. It was not one of those auditions that I thought, you know, Charlie told me about his audition. It was at the Opera House for him, and like 30 guys walked in carrying guitar cases, all showed up to audition. It wasn't like that. I was the only guy. I'd kind of been picked out. They knew they needed to get Joe out on the road immediately. Earthquake had been with, he was the producer on the Thunder Train records. And Tim Collins, the new manager of Joe Perry, who would become the manager of Aerosmith a few years later. Tim knew me from booking me. Earthquake knew me very well, knew I was the kind of guy that, you know, I don't miss a gig. The show must go on. And he knew that, you know, I looked like a long-haired stoner, but I wasn't as stoned as I looked. Which, you know, would be a good thing. Because it had a problem, you know, with the first lineup of Joe Perry Project. The singer couldn't stay with the band. And, you know, Joe's not the best influence.
Right.
Toxic twins.
So, yeah. I mean, that's always hard. You know, you're doing too many drugs. Oh, look at yourself. And, you know, that goes back and forth. So it was hard in that. I'm talking about the toxic twins. You know, they would be after each other. And neither of them were angels. I wasn't an angel either, but, you know, Tim and Earthquake were pretty sure that I was road ready, and they felt the same way about our new bass player, Danny Hargrove, from here in Cambridge. So that's how we joined the band. That was in February of 1982, and I started keeping a diary the first day. And
how about in honor of the Joe Perry Project, we play King of Kings, because it's also what today?
Yes, the coronation of the King of England.
Right.
Very excited.
Right. So let's do that one right now. And once a rocker, always a rocker.
Gonna do the twofer?
Do a twofer, and then maybe have you play a little guitar. And talk a little bit about the Mark Bell experience.
The Mark Bell experience. Yeah, well, it just keeps on getting better and better then.
All right. Here we go. King of Kings.
Ride, I was mad by day and bed.